Now we're holding on Tesvav Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Now we did the Mishnah yesterday, but we'll do it again now in order to do it with the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Tikra she'eno le'al ma'aziva. If you have a roof of a house or ceiling of a house where you don't have plaster on it yet, the ceiling is made out of boards, but you haven't yet put plaster on it. If you put plaster on it, then for sure it's going to be possible for schach, of course, because plaster or mud or whatever ma'aziva is exactly the stuff that holds the boards together doesn't grow from the ground. Before she even discussed the question, so what would happen if there was plaster and you removed it, could that be enough to make it kosher or not? But in any case, here we're talking about there's no plaster or mortar or whatever it is that holds it together. So there's just boards. The problem with that is twofold. Number one, those boards were not put down for a sukkah. Now, fine, we learned before that halacha is like this hillel; they don't have to be put down l'shem mitzvah sukkah. But they, on the other hand, you can't just sit under boards of a roof because obviously then people are going to think that you can just sit under a regular roof. We called that yesterday gzeiras tikra, a gzeira that you might think that it's just like a regular house. Also, you have the problem of passive alignment osri. They weren't put down for the sake of anything resembling a sukkah. And now you want to change your mind and use them for a sukkah. So what do you need to do in order to fix that? So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that there was machloikas on this. It's Shammai Omer. Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that there was machloikas with Shammai B'Silol on the subject. B'Shammai Omer, mefapik. B'Shammai says he has to, first of all, be mefapik the boards. Rashi over here defines that mefapik just means that he takes out, Rashi uses the expression, soser menaneas kolon. He undoes and moves all of them. In other words, he would have to pull out the nails from each one of them and pick it up and put it back down. The Rambam writes something similar. The Rosh writes, there's different ways of understanding the Rosh, whether maybe he means that just taking out the nails is enough, whatever. So that's number one. That's mefaktik. And also, that's not enough. The noital achas mentayim, you also need to take out every other board and replace it with regular kosher tzach. And we're going to see in the Gemara why Rabbi Yehuda would say that according to Bez Shammai, you need both of those. Or Bez Hillel Omrim, whereas Basil says, all this according to Rabbi Yehuda, mefaktik oinoi talachas mentayim. You don't need both. Either you undo the nails and lift up the boards, or you take out every other board and put in kosher eschach. And then every other board can be left nailed there in place. We'll talk about in a second what width boards we're talking about. Rav Meir Oyman, no talachas mementayim ve'enim afaktik. Rav Meir says, as we're going to see in the Gemara, Rav Meir is saying that there's no machlokas v'shama v'silol on this, that everybody agrees you can only take away every other board. Mefaktik is not going to do you any good. Now, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda disagreed in the previous Mishnah about boards. Rav Yehuda had said you're allowed to use boards for schach. Rav Meir had said you're not. So now they're being consistent with their opinions over here. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, by mentioning the machlokas b'shama b'shilol on this, we know the halacha is usually like b'shilol. So in effect, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that you are allowed to have boards be part of your schach. Because he's saying that b'shilol says that you're allowed to, and the halacha is like b'shilol. So therefore, so he's b'shilol is saying it's enough to, you don't have to, you could just be mefakpik, you could pick up the boards and put them back down, or you could be noitalachas mementayim. And then either way, you're going to have a kosher sukkah. So we see therefore that you're allowed to have boards for your sukkah. Whereas Rav Meir is saying no, you daft have to be no talachas mentayim, and have kosher schach in there. And then okay, so we talked about yesterday. We're going to talk about in more detail on daf yud zayin, the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel about how much posel schach in the middle of the sukkah passels the sukkah. So we said yesterday, according to Shmuel, what Rav Meir would be talking about over here is where you alternate, beginning from one end of the sukkah, board schach, or in this case the house, whatever, and then from the other end the same thing, such that you have 8 tochim of good schach in the middle, and that's enough to make it a kosher sukkah, and the rest of it is just going to be considered doifen akuma. Whereas according to Rav, we don't need to say that. According to Rav, we could be saying that even you just have the strips of kosher schach in between are going to be good. Now, what width boards are we talking about over here? Rashi learns that we're talking about boards that are 4 tefachim wide, which we said in the Gemara on the previous Mishnah that Rav had held that that was where that was where the mayor and the Yehuda argue on boards four tefachim wide. And then we had Shmuel saying that according to both of them, boards four tefachim wide are possible. So over here, then Rashi learns that the main problem over here is passable. I mean, Osri, and therefore this the mefakbech or noitzalach and or noitzalach has been time is going to be enough to take that. Rashi says that the problem really is zeras tikra, the problem that you might think that a roof is good enough to sit under, and therefore when you take away every other one or mefakbech, then you're taking care of that problem. The Ramban and the Ritva and a number of other Rishonim disagree with that on a number of grounds, one of them being if it's four tefachim wide, then how is Reb Meir saying that it's good enough to take out every other one four tefachim wide? We said before, according to both Rav and Shmuel, Reb Meir is going to say is no good. So they learn, so for that and for a number of other reasons and questions on the sugya, they learn, and it seems that Amam holds the same way also, although he doesn't bring the question and answer, that what we're talking about over here is actually boards that are less than four tefachim wide. So normally, fine, boards even narrower than that, let's say even narrower than three tefachim, and we said yesterday that according to the mayor, boards less than three tefachim wide are generally not a problem, but here where you actually use them for the roof of a house, then we're going to say you need something more than you need to actually do something to them to take away the tassable I mean ossuary issue and the Xavis Tikra issue, and therefore the mayor and the Behorda are talking about what you need to do. Okay. So the Gemara sorts out. The Shlema Bishilol, I can understand what Bishilol is saying, according to the Behorda, that you need to do either Mefaktik or Noitel Achas Mementayim. The reason why that works, the reason why, their concern over here is that you put down these boards to begin with for some other purpose, not for shade, and therefore now you have what we've talked about before, that you have to make a sukkah rather than it's already made, and therefore you have to do something. So therefore, fine, you do something. So fine, either mefaktik or noitalachas in time is a maise, and therefore with that maise, he's making the thing kosher. Okay, you have some mafarshim talk about the detail. Maybe over here, can we argue that if he does noitalachas mentayim, that is considered a maisa even on the ones that he leaves in place? If he's taking out every other one, fine. Well, that's a detail we can discuss. But the point is, Basilio is going to say that basically he's doing something over here, and that way it's not minha osri. That way he's doing something like what we had before, for example, with the attached tzchach that you put on the sukkah, where you not only detached it from the ground but also picked it up. So therefore, Basilio we understand. Ela b'shamay mai taimai. But why is this Shammai saying that you need both? If it's a problem of tassav alemina osri, it should be enough to do one or the other. And if the problem is gzeirat tikra, that you're going to think you can sit under a roof, then fine, you take out every other one, and that should be enough. Fine, the fact that we can argue is not going to do any good because the boards are still there, and you're going to think that you can sit under a roof. But fine, you take out every other one. That takes care of, and replace it with kosher eschach. That takes care of zeiras tikra. Why is Rabbi Yehuda telling us that this Shammai holds that you need both? So the answer is, in fact, we are going to say that the problem, according to this Shammai, is zeiras tikra. The problem that you're going to think that you can sit under a roof. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what this Shammai is saying is, afa pishim afakbik, Even if you loosen the nails and pick up the boards, that's not good enough. Only if you take every other one out and put in kosher tzchach, then good, because now you've done a maaseh. So now you've taken care of both problems. There's no tassav alemina osri, and there's no gzeiras tikra. So therefore we're good. The eloi, but if not, then not. So in other words, when Rabbi Yehuda says that the Shammai says mepak bin noitel achas min time, he doesn't mean you dafka need to do both. Rabbi Yehuda would agree that noitel achas min time is better. So he's saying you have your choice. You could do noitalachas mentayim. You can also do mefaktik if you want, but if you do, the fact is you're going to have to do noitalachas mentayim as well. That's how we're understanding so far. So the question is, if you're going to say, if you're going to learn like that, Ema Sefer, then look at the next part of the Mishnah, where we said, where Reb Meir says you have to take out every other one, and you can't do, you pick, taking out the nails and moving the board doesn't do any good. What does that mean? Reb Meir, Haino Beis Shammai. Then it comes out, Reb Meir is saying the same thing as Beis Shammai. So, and since anyway, the halacha is like this hillel over Beis Shammai, then what is Reb Meir telling us? Truly, he's not telling us that, that he's going to give us an opinion, which is not going to be, which is not going to be halacha anyway. The answer is, hachikama le nechaku Beis Shammai v'shillel b'dabazeh. The answer is fine. What Reb Meir is telling us is you should know, you, Reb Yehuda, are telling us there's a machlokas Beis Shammai v'shillel on this. You should know there's not a machlokas Beis Shammai v'shillel. Both of them agree that you need noitel achas mintai. So you, Reb Yehuda, are saying that's only according to Beis Shammai, and you're holding that's not the halacha. I'm telling you that Beis Hillel holds that way also, and therefore that is the halacha. Okay, so then the question is, my Kamash Malan. In that case, then what is Reb Meir, then what is Reb Meir being mechadish to us? Did Reb Meir is like Zerah Tikra, Reb Yehuda less like Zerah Tikra? Are we saying then that Reb Meir is concerned about Zerah Tikra, and that's why he's saying that you need to actually take every other one out? Reb Yehuda less like Zerah Tikra. Reb Yehuda, by telling us that this hillel would allow you to just be mefaktif. Now you think of it, mefaktif, you're ending up afterwards with schach, which is all of these boards. All you're doing is you're loosening the nails and pulling them up and putting them down. But you're not actually removing anything and replacing it. And Reb Yehuda is telling us that this hillel holds that's good enough. So what does that amount to saying? That Reb Yehuda does not hold of Gzeiras Tikra. Reb Yehuda is not concerned that if you're sitting under a schach of boards, you're going to think I might as well sit under the roof of my house. And Reb Meir is concerned about that, because Reb Meir is saying that this hillel would agree with the Shammai that you need Noitel Achas Mintayim. If that's what the Mishnah means, we already have a machlokas on that one time. The Tanan, the previous Mishnah, had said, Misachin Minasodin Divir Reb Yehuda, Reb Meir Oseh. The previous Mishnah already presented their machlokas about boards, where Reb Meir didn't allow boards, and where Reb Meir didn't allow boards, and Reb Yehuda did. So why repeat that? And so we know the problem over there was Zerah Tikra. So why repeat the machlokas? We did mention before that according to a number of Rishonim, the difference is that the previous Mishnah was talking about boards that are four tefachim wide, or according to Shmuel, between three and four tefachim wide, whereas over here we're talking about boards that are narrower than that. So it's not the same machlokas, but still, he says that the Ritva says, and the other Rishonim that talk about this in opposition to Rashi's understanding say that okay, but the fact is here we're talking about boards that were actually used for a roof. So obviously, therefore, there's going to have to be, according to the mayor, there's going to have to be a zera on that. So therefore, it still amounts to the same machlokas. Fine. There we're talking about wider boards. Here we're talking about narrower boards. But there, those boards were never actually used for a ceiling, whereas here they were. The Pnei Yeshua talks about, he wants to say that, that Rashi would hold that the Mishnah over here was talking about boards of any width, both more than four tefachim and less than four tefachim. Alright. Anyway. So why repeat the machlokas? So Amar of Chiba Abba, Amar of Yechanan, Reisha ben Isorim Meshupen Askinen. You should know the first part, the previous Mishnah, Daf Yud Daled, was not just talking about boards. It was talking about smoothed boards. They were, in fact, before we were saying there was a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether the boards we were talking about were four tefachim or between three and four tefachim, when there was a machlokas Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Now Reb Yochanan is telling us, Reb Chiba Abba is telling us in the name of Reb Yochanan, a different possibility. What we're actually talking about, it doesn't matter the width of the boards. the boards could be narrower than four, but they were very smooth boards. Like the kind, you go to Home Depot, for example, and you can find boards over there that are very smoothed out that you can use, like, for shelves or whatever, as opposed to then you have rough boards, the kind that you would use, let's say, for when you're building a house. So here we're talking about smooth boards, and in the previous Mishnah, Omishum Gzeirah Kalim Naguba. So nothing to do with the question of Gzeirah Tikra in the previous Mishnah. They were arguing, should we be Gozer, that you can't use such boards, because they are very similar to Kalim. Now, before we had, Tosfos had talked about earlier in the Masechta on Dafei, that you have certain kinds of boards. You have, for example, a board that a baker uses to roll out and lay out the dough on, which is Makabel Truma de Rabbanon. So, okay, these boards are not necessarily that wide, but because they're very smooth boards, then therefore they're very much like Kalim, and therefore the mayor is going to say that there's a problem using them, Midrabanan, because they look like, because they resemble Kalim, that are Makabel Truma, and therefore you're going to get confused and end up using things that are Makabel Truma. And Rabbi Yehuda would not agree with that data, therefore he doesn't have a problem with them. So the previous Mishnah is talking about smooth boards. Our Mishnah is talking about regular rough boards. So the kind that you would use for a ceiling, because of course once you put plaster on them, you don't particularly care if they're smooth or not. So therefore here you'd have the machlokes depending on the size of the boards. Okay. So the Gemara asked, Ula Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, now what about though, according to that explanation, what about though, we learned previously that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, we said that you can use arrow shafts for tzchach, and we said that if you use male ones, then they're kosher for tzchach, because the male ones go into a groove or into a hole in the female arrowhead, and therefore the arrow shaft is Shukei Kleyet, it's a plain, flat piece of wood with no Kli Kibble, with no receptacle in it, and therefore it's kosher, whereas if you use female arrow shafts, the kind that have a hole in their head to be able to put the tang of the arrowhead into them, then we said psula, v'loy gozos chorim otter mekevus. Now we said over there that Rav was not concerned that we should have to make a zeder that you shouldn't be allowed to use the male ones because you might get confused instead and use the female ones and have posula staff. So why over here would we say, why would we think to say over here when you're talking about smooth boards that there should be a problem because you might confuse them with Kalim? Now, of course, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are entitled to argue with each other. So the question is not really how Rav can say that and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting him. But the Ritva explains like this. We were discussing before that now, the question is like this. In Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who is the halacha like? Usually we have a rule that when we have a machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So if that's the case, then it means in the previous Mishnah, there would be no problem with smooth boards. And in our Mishnah, there would be no problem with the, and in our problem also, all you could do is be mefakpik. You don't need to actually replace every other board. However, there is also a concept that Gemara mentions in some places called halacha k'rav meir b'gzei roisa. That when Rav Meir says that something is also because of a gzeira, then the halacha is like it. So if we're going to say over here that there's gzeira kalim, Then, or for that matter, Rav's own explanation previously was Zera Tikra, that Rav Meir is concerned that you might think you're going to sit under a roof. Then in that case, then the halacha should be like Rav Meir, and then Rav should be saying by the same token that you can't use any kind of arrow shaft because of the same kind of Zera of Kalim. Marsha explains a little differently. If the machlokes is only on gzeiras kalim, then we halacha could have made a gzeiras, but generally speaking, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So then he wouldn't have had to paskin that male arrows are kosher either. It would have been obvious, just like Rabbi Yehuda allows smooth boards the same way he would allow male arrow shafts. Another interesting point over here is actually on the previous Mishnah, we actually said that Rav had said this has nothing to do with smooth boards and rough boards. We were talking about strictly whether they're four tefachim wide or not. Why is the Gemara not bringing that as a question over here that Rav already explained the previous Mishnah differently, and then how would he explain this one? The Ritva answer is that actually maybe what it was is, when we said before that Rav said the problem is Zerach Tikra, maybe Rav originally referred to our Mishnah, not the previous one. Then when Ravina and Ravashi came to organize the Gemara and put it over here, then they put it on that Mishnah. But really, primarily, Rav had originally said his statement on our Mishnah, and therefore the question is not so much, the question is not so much on that Rav is contradicting himself. The question is rather that, Rav is saying Zerach Tikra. Rav is also saying, on the other hand, that you can use male arrowheads and there's no problem of a Xera. So why would he hold of Zerach Tikra and not of Zerach Kalim? Hochanami, loin nigzer, nesorim, meshuk, and otter kalim. By the same logic over here, we shouldn't be making a gzera on smooth boards because you might confuse them with kalim. So how does that work as an explanation for our mission? So no. Ela al korchach resha pligi b'gzera tikra, v'sefer pligi b'gzera tikra. No, we have to say, at least according to Rav, that both the previous Mishnah and our Mishnah, they're both arguing on Gzeiras Tikra. Is there a problem that if you use schach of boards, then you're going to think that you can sit under a roof? So then, so why are they arguing in both cases? So the answer is safer to be hooded, become a leiler of mayor. Because our Mishnah is not really a new machlokes. Our Mishnah is the continuation of that conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir like this, Amai ka asrit in a sudden. Look, Rabbi Meir, why are you saying that boards are also? Mishum Gzeirat Tikra? You're concerned about Gzeirat Tikra, that a person is going to think he can sit under a plain roof? Hi, svaro le Beshamai hu de islahu. That's only according to Beshamai or Beshilo le Gazri. Whereas Beshilo does not make such a gzera. You see, in other words, says Rabbi Yehuda, that Beshilo requires you to only, Beshilo would be fine if you do only mefakbet, even though after you take out the nails and pick up the boards, you're putting the boards right back down where they were, and you're having a schach of all boards, and Beis Hillel is fine with that. The halacha is like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. So Rav Meir, how can you say in the previous Mishnah, Gzeiras Tikra, and therefore you can't use schach of boards more than four tefachim wide according to Rav, between three and four according to Shmuel, if I'm telling you that that's only according to Beis Shammai? But Amar Le Rav Meir, so Rav Meir answers him, no. No, you're saying that Beshamai and Beshilo argued on that, and that my Svara is only according to Beshamai? No, as a matter of fact, Beshilo would agree with my Svara as well, and they would say that Mefakbet is not enough, you must do Noitel Achas Mementai. What you, Rav Yehuda, are saying Beshamai holds, and we explained before that even Rav Yehuda is saying that according to Beshamai, it means not that you need to do both Mefakbet and Notalachas Mentayim, means you must do Notalachas Mentayim, whether you did Mefakbet or not doesn't help you. Rav Meir is saying, you're saying, Rav Yehuda, that's only according to Beshamai, I'm telling you that's according to Beshilol as well, and therefore that fits with my opinion that boards are also for Schach. Okay, so now the question is...
Yeah. So basically they have a double machlokes.
So it's not a double machlokes, it's a continuation of the same machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda is telling the mayor, I understand you saying that boards are possible, but where are you getting that from? That's only Beshamai's Svara. The halacha is not like
well,
that.
Well, that's so the machlokes. They have a machlokes about boards, and they have a machlokes about Beshamai and Beshilo. They have two machlokes going on.
I guess you could say it's a machlokes within their previous machlokes. Rabbi Meir is saying that everybody would agree there's a problem with boards, Gzeiras Tikra. And Rabbi Huda is saying only Beshamai would hold of that. And since the halacha is not like Beshamai, then that amounts to saying that there's no problem with boards.
So that's two machlokes.
Yeah, okay, so it's a machlokas what Beshamai and Beshilol held, but it's really a continuation of their previous machlokas. Like this, according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, they are in fact two unrelated machlokas. First, they're arguing about smooth boards, whether there's Zerach Kalim, and now they're arguing about rough boards, whether there's Zerach Tikra. Now we're saying that no, it's one big machlokas, all about rough or smooth boards. We don't care whether they're rough or smooth. It's strictly Zerach Tikra that we're arguing about. Okay, so then the question is, Hanichal Rav, Fine. All of that works according to Rav's explanation in the previous Mishnah. The Omer Machloikas B'Sheyesh Ben Abba, where Rav had said the Machloikas of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is on boards four tefachim wide. The Rav Meir is like Zerah Tikra, Rav Yehuda less like Zerah Tikra. So Rav Meir holds boards four tefachim wide are usually the ones that are used for ceilings. So therefore, Rav Meir is going to have a problem with that, Zerah Tikra, and Rav Yehuda is not. El L'Shmuel, the Omer B'Sheyesh Ben Abba Machloikas. But according to Shmuel, who said the machlokas is when they're even less than four tefachim wide, between three and four, as we said yesterday. Avo yesh behen abad, devrahako psula, but if they're four tefachim wide, everybody's going to agree it's possible. Sefer, b'may pligi, then what are they arguing about? Then what are they arguing about in the Sefer? In the Sefer, we're talking about these boards were laid down for a ceiling. But pashtus, that means they're four tefachim wide. According to Shmuel, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that boards four tefachim wide are no good, because he does agree with Gzeiras Tikra. He just holds that if they're less than four tefachim wide, then since four tefachim is not a mokum chashuv, then there's no problem with it. So how is Shmuel going to understand our mission? The answer is, So safer, but my pligi. So what are they arguing about in the safer? The answer is b'bitula tikra kamifadi. The answer is Shmuel would say that there's a difference between whether you're using boards to begin with for your schach or whether the boards are already there and you want to do something with them to be mevato the ceiling that's already there. How do we do that? So mar sava batla b'hachi or mar sava b'hachi le batla. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, again, forgetting about Beis Shammai a second, because Allah is not like them, Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us that Beis Hillel holds, it's enough to be mevatel the sukkah once you do pikkul. Now, why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say like this, listen, the problem is that, fine, Gzeiras Tikra, but over here, these boards are less than four tefachim wide, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold up the Gzeiras Tikra in them. The problem really over here is Tatsav Alaymana Asri. So therefore, if he does mefatif, he pulls out the nails and moves the boards, he demonstrates with that that he knows that there's a problem of Tatsav Alaymana Asri. So therefore, so that's good enough, therefore. So now we don't have to worry about Gzeiras Tikra. Now we don't have to worry about Tatsav Alaymana Asri. So therefore, everything is taken care of just by being mefatif. Beis Shammai is going to disagree, fine, but Beis Hillel is going to say that that's good enough. Once he demonstrated with his actions that he knows that task of Alaymana Asri is a problem. Omar Saba, where's Rav Meir, is going to hold B'hachi Le Batla. That's not going to be enough. Even according to Beis Hillel, to be Mevatalit, you're going to need something more than that, namely that you're going to have to take out every other board and replace it with regular schach. Now that's according to Rashi. Again, it comes out according to Rashi in a way. The fact that these boards were used for a ceiling in a way makes it more lenient, because now we're saying he can continue to use these boards for schach once he demonstrates with mefatik that he knows the halacha of tasa b'lemon asu. One of the questions that the Ramban and the Ritva have on Rashi's explanation is why would we say because the boards were placed there for a ceiling, that should make it more lenient, that Svara seems backwards. And the previous Mishnah was saying, according to Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow boards four tefachim wide. Now all of a sudden he's allowing them because they were placed down for a ceiling and you did the factor. What's the logic? So that's part of what leads them to understand that our Mishnah is actually talking about boards less than four tefachim wide, maybe even much less than four tefachim wide, maybe even only one tefach wide. Normally, Rabbi Yehuda would have no problem with such boards, and according to Shmuel, neither would Rabbi Meir. But over here, once they were already placed down for a ceiling, now you need a Maisa Choshu in order to make them kosher, and now you have the Machloek, the Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. What exactly is needed in order to do that? Is it enough to lift them up and put them back down, or do you actually need to replace every other one with kosher schach? Okay. Next, the Mishnah says, Hamakora sukase b'shvudim. If a person roofs his sukkah, or actually, so Rashi explains, the word makora means, like when you're putting up schach, what do? You put up a framework and then you put up a framework of boards of beam, not board of yeah, of 2x4s or something, and then you put the schach on top of that. So here, suppose the person put for the framework of a schach, suppose he used shvudim, which are spits. Now, different mepharshim talk about, do we mean wooden spits, and then the problem is because they're used as a kli, because they're used as a keli, they're used for roasting meat or whatever. Sometimes they may have a little iron tip over there, and then the whole thing is makabel tumah. Or are we talking about metal spits, which of course are possible for schach because they don't grow from the ground and they're makabel tumah. Anyway, so a person puts those on top of his sukkah. Or he used the long frames of a bed. So you have a bed is constructed, a wooden bed is constructed out of several pieces of wood. You have long pieces that go along the long sides of the bed. You have short pieces. You nail or attach them all together to form a frame. And then you have legs attached. And you put, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have mattresses. Like we do, they didn't have box springs like we do. The normal way to make a bed, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, was that you would, once you have the bed frame made, you would take ropes and weave them back and forth, going in and out, back and forth, forming a network in the bed frame, and then on top of that, you put your mattress and you'd sleep on top of that. So if you used for the framework of your schach, if you used, let's say, iron spits we're talking about, or you use aruchos hamita, which fine, are made out of wood, but they're makabel tumah, because a bed is makabel tumah. So how can the sukkah be kosher? Im yesh revach beinehen k'moison, if there is enough space between the spits as the size of the spits themselves, k'shera, then the sukkah is kosher. And we'll see in the Gemara how that is. Don't you need more schach? We'll talk about that in the Gemara. But anyway, let's say, for example, these spits are an inch wide. So fine, as long as you have an inch of spit, an inch of empty space, which is going to fill up with kosher schach, another inch of spit, another inch of kosher schach, etc., then you'll be okay, says the Mishnah. And we'll see the details about that in the Gemara. Next, continues the Mishnah. Hachotet begodesh lasas lo sukkah. If a person carves out inside a haystack or a grain stack to make for himself a sukkah. So in other words, imagine you have a very large haystack over there. So you start digging out the middle of the haystack. And then I guess you put in boards or something to keep the hay from falling back in until you have yourself a space, the minimum size of a sukkah, 7x7x10 tefachim. Ain't a sukkah, it's not a sukkah, and we learned a few days ago that the reason is because taft of aloimina osu. Because again, the problem is that the hay on top, which is serving as a schach, was not placed there for the sake of a sukkah, or wasn't even placed there for the sake of shade. Therefore, you're doing a side action to make it into schach, and you can't do that. You would have to lift it up and put it back down in order for it to be kosher a schach. So the Gemara starts off. This that we're saying, that if you have exactly as much space between the spits as the size of the spits themselves, then it's okay. Would we have to say then that our Mishnah contradicts what Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua says? Because we have a discussion in Masechta Eruvin. When you have a case, you have an area that's surrounded by Mechitzis. And what if you have korot ke'oimid? What if you have the length of the walls around the mechitzas around it is exactly as much as the area of the breaches? Now we said over there that if you have a breach 10 amos wide, then it's considered a breach. Less than that, then not always necessarily. Anyway, if it's less than 3 tefachim, then it's lavud. But in any case, let's say you have an area that you're surrounding with a fence. Let's say the perimeter of it is 100 feet. You have exactly 50 feet of fence, and exactly altogether, considering all the gaps in aggregate, you have 50 feet of gaps. So, Rapapa says that's fine. You're allowed to carry in it, because Rapapa says over there in the Gemara that all you need is that most of it shouldn't be open. And since it's not, since only half of it is open, then you're fine. But Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Amar also. And Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua says it's also because he says you have to have the, a majority of it be a mechitza. So now when we're saying, now when in our Mishnah, when you have the spits are obviously not kosher schach, so therefore we should consider them as though they weren't there. So when you have exactly 50% kosher schach and exactly 50% possible schach, by the same logic of Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, it should be possible, and our Mishnah is saying it's kosher. The answer is Amalach Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, my kemosan menichnas v'yotze. You know what? When our Mishnah says that there's enough space between the spits, at the size of the spits, what it means is large enough to put in another spit or take it out. Now, when you think about it, you have that means the space between them necessarily has to be slightly wider than the spit. Because, as the Gemara often phrases it in some places, amsa ba'amsa hechi yosiv, if you have an object which is exactly an amma in size, and you want to get it into a space exactly an amma in size, it's not going to fit. Obviously, the space you're putting something into has to be a fraction of an inch larger. So the same thing over here. If the spits are exactly an inch wide, we're not talking about where you have exactly an inch between one and the next, because then there wouldn't be room to put in another one in between. Necessarily, we're talking about there's an inch and a quarter, there's an inch and an eighth, and whatever. So once you add that up, then you end up with there's more space that's filled up with kosher schach, because all those empty spaces you're filling up with kosher schach, and therefore you end up with a majority of kosher schach, and therefore there's no problem. So the question is, what do you mean, though? The fact is, it is possible to put exactly an inch, rather than an inch and a quarter. And so on the face of it, when the Mishnah says, im yesh revach b'nehen k'moysan, shouldn't we have to assume that the Mishnah is talking about even that case? And if according to the Papa, that works. But according to the Huna Bar Yehoshua, if the whole point is you must have spaces larger than the spit, then the Mishnah should say so. Like this, when the Mishnah says, revach b'nehen k'moysan, that could mislead us into thinking that it's enough to have exactly an inch space. And according to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, that doesn't work. So the answer is, Amar Rabami, B'madif, Rabami says, you know what, according to Rashi, the Rabami is answering, fine, you know what, let's ignore the question. Yeah, Efshel Tzamtzim, but Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua is going to say that the Mishnah is talking about B'madif, where you actually put a little extra space between one spit and the next. So in other words, yes, the Mishnah does say Kamoisan, but Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua is entitled to understand that Kamoisan doesn't literally mean Kamoisan, it means slightly more. We'll learn first also Rava's answer, and then we'll talk about what Rabbi Hanano and Tosfos and all say on this. Rava Omar, Rava says you don't need that answer. Afilu Tame of a She'ein Madif, you don't even need that. You could say we're talking about where there's exactly as much space, but what you do is, if the spits are placed on a sukkah along the length, then you put the kosher schach on along the width, and vice versa, erev noisan shesi. So you always put the kosher schach perpendicular to the posel schach. Now, what does that accomplish? So necessarily, therefore, that means that So therefore, that means now the schach has to be a little bit wider. The schach has to be a little bit wider than the width of the shvudim, than the width of the spits, because otherwise they'll fall down. So therefore, you end up with a little more schach than possible schach, and therefore it'll be mevatalit. Now that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on Rashi. One of them being the fact is that the it's not usually the style of the Gemara to ask a question and then completely ignore the premise of the question. You usually say, okay, you know what, you machin, you have a valid point with your question. Let me answer it differently in order to answer that question. You don't usually just ignore their point of view altogether that you're saying the Mishnah is using the word kemoisan, and you're going to say. And you're going to say that kemoisan doesn't really mean kemoisan. That's not the style of the Gemara. So for that reason and a lot of other reasons, Tosfos rather prefers an explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa, the first words on the Amud we have over here, Vaha Efshar Latzamtzim, which means that it is in principle possible to have exactly as much space as fits. And therefore, how could that be? And we have to answer that it means not exactly as much. Rabbeinu Hananel rather has a Girsa, Vaha E Efshar Latzamtzim. It's impossible to have it precise, meaning what's going to happen if you have an inch of space between, or even let's say you have an inch and a, you have an inch and an eighth space, let's say, between one spit and the next. Inevitably, you're not going to fill it up with kosher eschach completely. Inevitably, there's going to be a tiny little bit of gap between the edge of your kosher eschach and the spit next to it. And therefore, when you add it up, you're not going to have mostly kosher eschach. Fine, the gaps in and of themselves are not going to be enough to passel it, because you need a gap three tefachim of empty space to passel it, but still, how are you going to have the majority kosher eschach, which according to the Rabbeinu Bridei Rabbi Yeshua you need? And the answer would be, sort of Ami's answer would be b'madif, what you do is, you overlap the kosher eschach over the posel eschach. What you do is, let's say, so you have a spit, and then, and another spit, an inch away, and in between them, you put in kosher eschach. What you actually do is you put your kosher eschach not just between them, but also a little bit above them. Now, a kosher eschach on top of posel eschach in and of itself doesn't do you any good, but it does combine toward the roiv, and it does combine toward the roiv. So then we can say that you have then we can say that you have a majority of kosher eschach. So Tosfos says it's not really, Tosfos actually, one of Tosfos's problems with Rashi is that it's not really a matter of bitul. How can you say bitul when the two things are laying right next to one another? But the answer is that you're using the posel eschach, the spit, as support for the kosher eschach, and therefore in that sense that you're making it less important. It becomes tuffle, and in that sense, actually, that's not really Tosfos' answer. That's a different answer to Fran Ferdash. Tosfos themselves says that, the answer is what you're doing is you're putting the kosher eschach a little bit over, you're putting a little bit kosher eschach above the posel eschach as well. That way you have all of the spaces filled up. So now you have, according to the Papa, then it's enough that the spaces are an inch. According to the Rabbeinu Bridei Rabbi Yeshua, there have to be an inch and a tiny bit. Either way, the point is, once the kosher eschach is overlapping over the posel eschach, necessarily the entire space is filled up with eschach. And then Rabbah is answering, you don't even need that. What you do is you put the kosher eschach perpendicular to the posel eschach, and that way it's also filling up the entire space. So it's not a matter of bittul, then, according to Tosfos. Fine. The Mishnah had said, another case we said was where you use the long poles of a bed for the framework of Yischach, and again, those we said are posel for Yischach. Now, we have to figure out, why are they posel for Yischach? They're made out of wood, after all. Now, they do come from a bed, it's true, but right now it's taken apart. On the face of it, you can't sleep on a ruchei samita like that. You need it to be assembled into a bed, so why should it be a problem? So the Gemara says, "Lema Mesayle Rab Ami Bar Tavyumi." Can we say then that our Mishnah supports what Rab Ami Bar Tavyumi says, which he says, "Sikachav Vloi Kalim." If a person used for schach worn out pieces of begodim, of clothing, so let's say you have a piece of clothing that was made out of flax. So to begin with, so flax itself, we learned a few days ago, would have been kosher for schach. But now, let's say you wove the flax or cotton or whatever into a garment, and now you have a piece of it, now you have a ripped off piece of cloth, which is less than 3 by 3 exposes, so it's not usable anymore, as the Gemara is going to say later. So, nevertheless, you can't use it for schach, psula, the schach is going to be possible, because since at one time the beged was makabel tuma, then even now a piece that was torn off it is still not makabel tuma anymore, but nevertheless it's still possible for schach. So by the same logic, we would say the aruchei samnita, the bed as a whole is, of course, makabel tuma. Therefore, a piece of it would also be makabel tuma. So our Mishnah would support his din. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Because you could answer, just like Rav Chanan explains in the name of Rebbe, in explanation of a different Mishnah, which we're going to quote soon, on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph, where also you're talking about pieces of a bed over there, and Rav Chanan explains that when talking about not just the long piece by itself, but the long piece with two legs attached, or the short piece with two legs attached, we could understand on Mishnah to be talking the same way. We're not just necessarily talking about the long piece by itself. You're right, that wouldn't right now be functional. We're talking about where it still has the two legs attached, and as the Gemara is going to explain soon, you could still use it for a makeshift bed. So there's no proof for Rav Ami. There's no proof for Rav Ami by Rav Yumi's din. Nevertheless, okay, we're not schlugging him up either. The halacha is in fact like him that you can't use broken pieces of kalim or ripped pieces of clothing or whatever for sand. Okay, so the Gemara says, Heicha Itmar Rav Chanan Amar Rav Acha. Where was the original Amar Rebbe? Heicha Itmar Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe. Where is the original context that Rav Chanan said this din in the name of Rebbe? What was the original context where we're talking about the long side of the frame of a bed together with two legs attached, or the short side of the frame together with two legs attached? So aha, it was on the following. Tznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim, mita mitames chavila or mitaheres chavila, a bed can become tamei as a unit and becomes toher as a unit. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say that if a bed was taken apart, then it's not makabel tumah. Or Tosfos discusses whether it means, are we talking about that it's not makabel tumah? Are we talking about that if it was tumah, then the tumah goes away? Whatever. The point is that only when it's all attached together, but not when it's taken apart. Umitaheres chavila, and when it comes to making it tahor, if it became tummy and you want to dip it in the mikveh, then you have to dip it in the mikveh altogether. You can't take it apart into pieces and then toivel it. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chum say no, it can become tummy as pieces, even when the bed is taken apart, it's still able to be makabel tuma. And when you want to be mitaharet, when you want to dip it in the mikveh, also you can be mitaharet piece by piece. Tosfos discusses over here, actually based on a tesefta in Kalim over there, that explains a different way of explaining the machlokes is, if you take apart the bed, is there a problem that the parts that are still attached are going to be a chatzitza to each other, and therefore you can't tovel it that way, and therefore you'd either have to tovel it whole, or you'd have to take every single piece apart, whereas the Chachamim would say that's not a problem. Anyway, the point is that the question is, a vorim mai nihu, what parts of the bed are we talking about that the Chachamim say would be able to be makabel tuma? On the face of it, if the whole bed is taken apart, then it's not suitable for sleeping on anymore. So why would the Chachamim say it's still makabel tuma? Or maybe that it still has the tuma that it did from before. So Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rebbe, he was where Rav Chanan said his original statement in the name of Rebbe, Aruko Ushtei Kra'ayim, Ktsaro Ushtei Kra'ayim, that we're talking about the long side of the frame with two legs attached, or the short side with two legs attached. So then the question is, well, my chazya, well, what could you use still, a long side or a short side? That's not enough of a frame to be able to use for a bed. So what would you be able to use it for? The answer is, l'mismichinu aguda, conceivably, if you have that piece of the bed, the long side or the short side, what you do is you prop it up against the wall, you take a couple of other pieces of wood and use them to prop it up against the wall, u'lamesavalayu, then you're going to be able to sit on it, u'mishta ashli, and you're going to be able to weave ropes in and out to be able to make the space to be able to put the mattress on. In other words, what you do is, in this case, let's say you only have one part of the frame, so you're not going to give up and sleep on the floor. What you're going to do is you'll take a couple of other short pieces of wood. Let's say you have only the long side left, so you and you have two legs attached. So fine, you'll take two pieces of scrap wood that you have lying around the house, you'll nail them to that, you'll make holes in your wall to fit the other ends of those makeshift pieces of wood that you're doing. Then you'll have, then you stick it by the wall over there, and now you have, it'll stand up, and now you're able to put your ropes back and forth and have a place to be able to sleep on. So therefore, so even now that you have this one piece left, then according to the Chachamim, it's still enough to be able to be Mekabel Truma. Okay. So the point is, in other words, that that was the original location where Rav Chanan had said in the name of Rebbe that we're talking about a case of Arucho Shtei Kra'ayim. We were talking about a case of a long side of the frame of a bed together with two legs attached. And by the same token, we're going to say that we could explain our Mishnah to be the same thing. We don't necessarily have to explain that our Mishnah is talking about a piece of the frame of a bed without any legs attached. Nevertheless, again, we don't have to understand it. We could also understand that it means a piece of a frame without even legs attached. And the halacha in the end is like the halacha is in the end like Rav Ami Batav Yumi, that in fact such a thing is going to be possible because it came from a keli that was Mekabel Truma. Okay, so the Gemara says Gufa. Getting back to what we said, let's analyze what he said about ripped off pieces of cloth. Amar Rav Ami Batav Yumi, Sikacha Bevloi Kelim Sula. We said that if you made the schach with worn out or ripped off pieces of clothing, then it's possible. So my Bloi Kelim, what exactly does he mean by worn out clothes? Amar Abaya, it means Makhlonius She'en Behem Shalish Al Shalish. It means pieces of cloth that are less than 3x3 etzbos. Dolei Chazim, Loila Anim, Loila Ashirim. They're not suitable anymore, even for poor people. Poor people will keep small pieces of cloth to use them for patches, but even they are not going to use a piece less than 3x3 etzbos. They're certainly not useful for rich people, so therefore they're not makabel truma anymore. And if they were tume, then the truma went away by the fact that they were ripped into such small pieces. Nevertheless, Rav Ami Bar Tov Yumi wants you to know you still can't use them for schach. Because they did originally come from something like Makabal Tumah, and therefore that's reason enough to parcel them now. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei that Rav Ami Bar Tov Yumi. In fact, we learn a Braisa, like what he said. A Braisa says, Machselas Shal Shifa, a mat made out of Shifa, which is a type of reeds, Vishal Gemi, or of another type of reed. These are all various types of rushes or reeds or soft plants like that you can make mats out of. Now, normally such mats are used for sleeping on. Therefore, the Makabel Truma. We're going to talk at the end of the Perek on Daf Chof. We're going to talk about at some length about different kinds of mats, which kinds can and can't be used for schach. Anyway, so here we're talking about the kind that were used for sleeping on. So afa pi shenifchasu mikishu'ura, even if now the mat is ripped and you have a piece less than the shiur to be makabel truma, a mat to be makabel truma has to be at least 6x6 tochim, nevertheless, ein mesachin behen, you can't use it for schach, which is like what Rav Ami Bar Tov Yumi had said about kol. Same idea. Continues the Braisa. Machselas akanim, a mat made out of reeds, gdola, if it's a large one, masachinba, then you're allowed to use it for schach, because if it's a large one, much larger than a person, then it wasn't made to sleep on to begin with, it was made for schach, and therefore it's perfectly kosher for schach. Katana ain't masachinba, but if it's small, meaning the size of a person, then you can't use it for schach, because then it's makabel truma. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a afi makabel truma, ain't masachinba. Rabbi Eliezer says that no, even a small one, even a large one rather, is makabel truma, and therefore you can't use it. Pesach, we're going to discuss later on Daf Chof, we're going to talk at the end of the Perek, we're going to talk about in more detail what Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing on, and the various kinds of mats, what kinds are made for sleeping on, and what kinds are made for schach. Okay. Next. The Mishnah had said, Hachotit begodish, that if a person is carving out a space inside a haystack to make a sukkah, and we said that it's not a sukkah, so Omer Avuna, lo yishonu ela she'en shem cholol tefach b'meshach shiva. You know when we're talking about it's possible is if before you started hollowing it out, you didn't have a vertical space of a tefach by 7x7 tefachim. Avol Yeshem Cholol Tefach Meshach Shiva Harezu Sukkah. But let's say previously, when you first stacked up the hay, you have, let's say you put some boards in there to keep a space open, and you had a space at least 7 by 7 tefachim, and at least 1 tefach tall, and now you want to enlarge it, now you want to enlarge it from 1 tefach to 10 tefachim tall, Harezu Sukkah, then Rav Huna tells us that would be considered a valid sukkah, because the fact that you had the schach was the fact that you have that the top hay was over a space of 1 tefach, and 1 tefach is considered an oihel for various purposes in halacha, that allows us to consider it as if that schach was placed down there l'shem tzeil, or maybe not, maybe not l'shem tzeil, maybe not for shade, but at least that it was placed over there, that it was placed over there as schach, as to overshadow that space, and therefore now when you're enlarging that space, then it'll be good. The Ran brings actually that maybe that would only work if the space was near was by the top of what you plan to have the sukkah, and then you're digging downwards, because then at least you have the same hay that was on top before to be the schach is still remaining over there, and you're just enlarging the space underneath it. But he says maybe if the other way around, if the 1 tefach space was at the bottom, and then you're working your way up from there, then you'd have a problem, because the schach that was over that 1 tefach space, you're removing. And the other schach that's there was never over the 1 tefach space in the first place, and therefore maybe it would be no good. The Gemara says Tanya Nami Hachi. We learned similarly in a Braita. Hachotet begodesh lasis le sukkah harezes sukkah. Braita says that such a thing is a valid sukkah. So what do you mean it's a valid sukkah? Bahanan tanan ain't a sukkah. Didn't we just say, we said in our Mishnah it's not a sukkah? So therefore, that means we have to answer, like Rav Huna, that there's a difference whether there was a 1 tefach space there or not. We learned the other day, by the way, we learned last week, that if you have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, how much space does there need to be between them for there to be a problem with the bottom of the sukkah? And we had Rav Huna saying 1 tefach, so Tosfos says Rav Huna is being consistent with his opinion, and maybe even the other Amoraim, who disagreed there and said 4 tefachim or 10 tefachim, maybe over here they would agree that 1 tefach is enough, because the fact that there was a 1 tefach over here demonstrates that the schach was in fact functioning as schach after a fashion, and therefore that now if you enlarge the hole, then you're good. The Gemara says, Ikka de Rami le Mirma. There are others who learned it in the form of a question. So the first version of the Gemara we had was Rav Huna had a statement, then we brought a Braisa, and then we reconciled them. The other version of it started out by asking the contradiction between the Braisa, between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and answered it using Rav Huna's statement. So Tznana choytet begodesh latas le sukkah in a sukkah. We're saying that if you dig out in a haystack to make a sukkah, then it's not a valid sukkah. V'hanan v'hvatanya harezu sukkah. But we have a braisa that says it is a valid sukkah. How do we reconcile them? And to reconcile them, we have Rav Huna's statement of Rav Huna, loikasha kan b'sheyeshem cholot tefach b'meshach shiva, kan b'sheyeshem cholot tefach b'meshach shiva. It depends whether there was already previously a space of 1 tefach tall by 7 by 7 tefachim wide, versus not. So there can be cases where digging out a haystack results in a kosher sukkah. There is, by the way, though, the Rav Yoh points out that, listen, if you now were to enlarge it horizontally, so if you, let's say, had a space 7 by 7, and now you're going to try to enlarge it horizontally to have a bigger sukkah, you're still going to have a problem, because again, in that area that you're enlarging, there wasn't the schach, wasn't there originally, because the haystack was solid over there, therefore you're going to have a problem. In other words, the only area that you can use to actually sit under would be the area that to begin with you had the hollow space over there of at least a tefach tall.